Hello, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I would like to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. Today's message is going to be entitled The Power of One Woman's Ministry. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast, however, is a radio program which features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, the message that Pastor Phipps has chosen to present, of course, is an exciting one, and it's a message that is from the Old Testament. He's going to relate to us an Old Testament story, and he's going to draw some lessons from that story, and I'm going to tell you that some of the lessons are going to be quite unexpected indeed, but certainly lessons that will be enriching for all of our lives. So I urge you to stay tuned to our program today, The Power of One Woman's Ministry, Part 1. Just before we get into the message for today, here is some special music, a song entitled Always.
You're feeling down, and it just seems your world is falling all around. No need to fear, I'll still be there to friends are gone, and it just seems like you've been fighting all alone. I'll dry the tear, I'll still be there to love you, even though sometimes.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps, a song entitled Always, and that is from the CD release entitled The Power of a Dream. Today's message is entitled The Power of One Woman's Ministry, and we're going to hear part one of the message today. This is going to be message number 245 in our series, and as we've done from time to time, we've divided this message into two parts so that you can get the whole message. This message is so exciting, and there are so many, many interesting lessons that Pastor Phipps will draw from this Old Testament story that we feel it's important that you get everything. So we're going to hear part one of the message today, The Power of One Woman's Ministry. Here's Pastor Phipps.
My message is entitled, The Power of One Woman's Ministry. The Power of One Woman's Ministry. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 4. The book of Judges, chapter 4. That's just after the book of Joshua. Amen. The book of Judges, chapter 4, just before the book of Ruth. Is that helping you any? Amen. Somebody's praising the Lord right now. Thank you, Pastor. And I want to begin reading with verse 3. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron and 20 years. He mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, of Kedesh Naphtali." Aren't you glad I'm reading the scripture this morning? "And said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee, to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. This journey will not be for your honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I love reaching into the Word of God and finding things that people overlook. My message this morning, the power of one woman's ministry. The nation of Israel had strayed from God and found themselves under the oppressive hand of a puppet king named Jabin. Everyone knew that pulling the strings behind the facade of kingly power was a hard, exacting general by the name of Sisera. For 20 years under Sisera's rule, God's people endured harsh oppression and cruel affliction. For 20 years, they were constantly harassed and terrified, plundered and pillaged. Their crops were destroyed. Their women were dishonored. To make matters worse, not a sword or spear could be found in Israel to be raised in protest or defense. When the situation grew unbearable, God's people finally cried out to him for deliverance. In answer to their prayers, God did not turn to any of the established rulers in Israel. He did not turn to the customary lines of priestly influence to secure their liberation. Instead, God turned to the ministry of a woman by the name of Deborah to bring his people grace and freedom. Deborah was a righteous woman, a pious woman, a woman known for her wisdom, beauty, and intelligence. Oh, it's nice when you have all of those wrapped up in one package. Deborah had attained a place of prominence and great influence in Israel. She was one of the first women to be sanctioned by God to be a judge in Israel. This, you must understand, was an extraordinary development in the social structure of Israel. For you see, to many in Israel, a woman ruling as a judge was only evidence of how badly things had deteriorated in the society. And the way most of the leaders in Israel saw it back then was things must be pretty bad for God to have to go and get a woman to be a judge. Church, if you think we live in a male-dominated society today, you should have seen what ancient Israel looked like. A woman was not allowed to speak without her husband's consent. She was not allowed to speak in public worship. Any questions she had about what was being taught in church, she had to wait till she got home to ask her husband, who, of course, knew everything. A woman was not allowed to own property. She was not even allowed to, get this, choose whom she married. Aren't you glad you weren't born in that decade? In ancient times and in many lands today, most of the work in the home and in the field was done by women. They had to work in the field and in the home. And I've seen women in my lifetime, from the land where I was born, I still remember women carrying pails of buckets of water on their heads, balanced skillfully. I've been in some countries where the custom is for the men, not the women, to wear shoes. Some manufacturers won't do well over there. And because the women don't wear shoes, the soles of their feet are as thick as the leather on the bottom of your shoes right now. In some countries, the custom is for the woman to walk a certain amount of paces behind the man. Now, I cannot overlook the fact that there may be someone in here today backwards enough and narrow-minded enough to say, oh, those were the good old days. Well, they may have been old, but they surely weren't good. In Boston, a young man went into a bookstore and asked the young, pretty sales attendant, "Do you have a book in your store entitled Man, the Master of Women?" The young, pretty sales girl just shook her head and said, "If it's here, I'm sure you'll find it in the fiction department." Brothers and sisters, God did not make Eve to be dominated by man. Not only was Eve the last and finest of God's creation, but think about this for a minute. Eve was the only part of creation that God felt so good about that he personally introduced himself. For God, making Deborah a judge was no huge complication. He doesn't hand out ministry assignments by gender. We're the ones who are hung up. Now you're listening to me today. Deborah was spiritually qualified to carry out her ministry, and that was all that mattered to God. Deborah was the Judge Judy of her time. She was able to handle the difficult situations with tact and wisdom. You couldn't get much past Deborah. People came from all over to have their cases settled by Judge Deborah. You see, church, when it comes to ministry, God is free to choose and use whomever he wants to choose and use. When it comes to ministry, God is not influenced by our ability as much as he's influenced by our availability. You see, he can handle your lack of ability. He can't deal with your unavailability. Are you with me today? Not only was Deborah a judge, Deborah was a prophetess. And even more remarkable, it was through the ministry of Deborah that God gave direction to Israel's military. God used the ministry of a woman to free the nation of Israel. A woman giving direction to the general over Israel's army? Unheard of. But that's how it went. One day, and we read the scripture, the Lord spoke to Deborah, told her to send for Barak. She said to him, Barak, God has told me to tell you to assemble 10,000 men of the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun, make war. What? God said for me to do what? You see, Barak had seen how discouraged, disorganized, and ill-prepared Israel's army was. And here was Deborah, a woman who had never seen a battlefield, a housewife, not versed in the customs and parlance of war. Here she was, a woman giving direction to Israel's top general on how to fight and win a battle. Now, let me get this straight, said Barak. You want me to get a group of unorganized soldiers together, go fight against a well-disciplined army and a well-trained general like Sisera? Yes, said Deborah. And I like Deborah's response. And you find it there if you have your Bibles. Look at it in chapter 4. I love the way she says in verse 6. She sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam and of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Barak, hath not the Lord of God of Israel commanded? In other words, brothers and sisters, she said, Barak, is it not true that the Lord is commanding you? She said, who's your commander anyway, Barak? Kind of sounds like a sister to me. Isn't God your commanding officer? He told me to tell you, go march, take with you 10,000 men. He'll bring the general of Jabin's army to you. God said, I will deliver them into your hands. Oh, church, it is a testament to Deborah's ministry that Barak would even take her seriously at all. Barak, God has told me to tell you, if you go forward in faith, he'll be with you. And now as you read the scripture and the way the order is given, you get the impression that God had told Barak to get up and fight his enemies before. But because of fear, Barak didn't do what God told him to do. Someone said that action is what you don't take when you feel the other guy is bigger than you are. Barak took no action on God's command. No one ever climbed a hill, church, just by looking at it. When God, are you with me today? When God tells you to do something, you just do it. When God says go forward, you don't ask questions, you just go forward. To have God send a woman to Barak to say in essence, you scaredy cat. Go fight, man, the armies of Israel. You must understand that was a serious rebuke to Barak. Barak reluctantly accepted the message from Deborah. And after some deliberation in verse 8, he said something really unusual and pitiful. Are you with me today? He said, Deborah, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, boy, he was pitiful. Somehow Barak forgot that Deborah may have had the word, but God had the power. Barak forgot that Deborah was just a servant, an instrument in the hand of God. Barak knew God had spoken through Deborah, but that was not enough. Barak says to Deborah, unless you go with me, I will not obey the word of the Lord. Woo! And God, through Deborah, rebuked Barak for his lack of faith. Deborah answered Barak, saying, and look at it. Verse 9, she said, I will surely go with thee. I will go with you, Barak. But listen, look, says, notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for your honor. Woo! Because you doubted the word of the Lord, you will not get the recognition God wanted you to have with this victory. Church, sometimes God wants his people to get recognition and glory because it will bring him glory. But if you doubt, he'll pass on the glory to somebody else. Barak, because you distrusted God and said that if I wasn't going, you weren't going, God has told me to tell you, you will not gain the recognition on this expedition you deserve. God has told me to tell you, the general Sisera, the leader of the army that will oppose you, God won't even turn him over to you. Instead, God will turn him over in embarrassment to you, to a woman. For God to say to Barak that a woman was going to slay the army of the opposing, the leader of the opposing army was a severe punishment. But that's what God said. Barak, a woman will slay the army, the general of the opposing army, not you. How embarrassing. Deborah said to Barak, I will go with you, but you will not get the glory for this victory. God will turn the general over, not to you, but to a woman. God will take the military honor that was due to you and give that honor to a woman. Now, you got to understand the culture of the time. That was serious rebuke. Because men still have pride today. Imagine what it was like then. Why did Barak fear? Not having Deborah by his side, we may not understand. She was not a war hero. She was a mother, not a soldier. So Barak set out, the Bible says, with Deborah by his side to do battle. And Barak brought to the battlefield, the Bible says, 20 years of defeat. Sisera brought to the battlefield 20 years of military dominance. Lopsided match if there ever was one. The general Sisera, the Bible tells us, and you can read it, had 900 iron chariots. He was accompanied by the top military strategists of his day. Barak, on the other hand, was being advised by a housewife. Huh? When General Sisera heard that Deborah was marching with Barak, and advising Barak, he must have had a good laugh. He said, my fellow soldiers, you're not going to believe this. Barak is so afraid to come and fight us alone. He's bringing his top brass, his chief military advisor, a mama by the name of Deborah. Little did Sisera realize that Deborah was a woman with the power of God on her life. And don't you mess with a woman who's got the anointing of God on her life. Don't go up against a woman whom God has called to do a special work. Everyone knew that Sisera's 900 iron chariots were useless up in the mountains. You see, chariots can't fight in rugged mountainous terrain. Amen? You see them running 10 abreast, 20 abreast, but they're on plains. It seemed the logical thing for God's people to do, to draw Sisera's chariots up into the mountains to fight. But church, God is not bound by logic. He is not limited by the narrow reasonings of men. Someone said he specializes in the impossible. If it is unfeasible, impractical, unworkable for man, for God, it's a piece of cake. If it is hopeless, ridiculous, out of the question for man, with God, with just a wave of his hand, it'll come to pass. When it seems like there's no way out and no way through, all God has to do is invoke the spectacular, and doors will open where there were none. Gates will appear where there were only brick walls. Windows will appear out of nowhere. Solutions will come into view. Answers will come where there were only questions. God specializes in confounding the skeptics. Listen to what my Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, chosen the weak things of the world, hallelujah, hallelujah, to confound the things which are mighty. God told Barak through Deborah, Barak, come out of the mountains. God wants you to fight the general Sisera on the plains. Barak, I want you to fight Sisera where his chariots have the advantage. Not in the mountains, in the plains. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, God will call you to fight where your enemy has the advantage, so that when you gain the victory, you will know for sure that only the Lord could have done it. The Lord is my light and salvation, said David. Whom shall I fear?
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. Unfortunately, with the constraints of our broadcast format, we have to end the message at this point. However, in the next broadcast, you will hear part two and the conclusion of this very exciting title, The Power of One Woman's Ministry. Again, I urge you to join us again for another program where we will hear the conclusion of this very exciting message. However, if you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office. The Seabrook Church is the church that sponsors this program, and for information and for an audio copy of today's message, you can call their church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. You will want to refer to the program number 245 for today's message, and that will allow those who help you to reference the title, The Power of One Woman's Ministry, Part 1, and get you the right program copy. Again, that's program number 245 for The Power of One Woman's Ministry, Part 1. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, as I always do, but I want to ask you and urge you and encourage you to join us again for another program, and also to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
In your heart.